Hello and welcome to the Crisis Point Podcast. I'm Eric Sammons, your host and the editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. As always, just want to remind people to like and subscribe. That's how the magical algorithms tell everybody that they need to watch and listen to Crisis Point Podcast. So make sure you hit that subscribe button or the like button. I've heard like people say like you smash that like button. I have no idea why that's the term, but you know, I'm old. What do I know? Okay. Anyway, so let's get going on this podcast. What I want to talk about today is the phenomenon of the fact that we have many, let's just say subpar parishes out there. And what is a Catholic to do? Specifically, what's a Catholic parent to do when your local geographic parish is not that great? And I'm not necessarily talking about a parish that's just full on heretical. I told the story last week on Twitter of For All Souls Day. When we moved to a new town, this is many years ago, my wife and I moved to a new town. We had a couple little kids. And the first time we went to a parish, the local geographic parish was All Souls Day. We had just moved. It was All Souls Day. And in the homily, the priest actually said that purgatory, we don't really believe in purgatory anymore. Purgatory is just a medieval invention. It doesn't really exist. This was on All Souls Day. Needless to say, I never went back. We never went back to that parish, never stepped foot in it again. Now, honestly, if that happened now, I think I would have walked out in the middle of the homily. At the time, I was young. I just was kind of shocked, first of all. So we just kind of, my father-in-law was with me and he was shocked too. And we just couldn't believe it. So we just never were like, okay, we're never going back here again. And we didn't. So that's an obvious case. If the priest is preaching heresy, you don't go there anymore. But what about other situations in which the parish isn't necessarily heretical? It's just not very good. It's not passing on the faith to your children or to you, frankly. It's not helping you. Obviously, it's the parents' primary duty to pass on the faith to their children. But we get assistance from our parish, hopefully. We're supposed to get assistance from a parish to pass on the faith to them. So what happens for a lot of young Catholics, this happened to my wife and I, but it happens to a lot of young Catholics, when they're single, they don't necessarily notice all the problems in a parish that aren't explicitly heretical. They just kind of bear it. So maybe that tacky felt banner, it's like whatever. Maybe the fact that the music is like still 1970s folk music, whatever. Maybe the fact that the tabernacle is, you know, it's a Where's Waldo situation. Tabernacle is not front and center, but instead it's in a corner somewhere. You just kind of don't think about it that much when you're young. You don't have kids. But what happens then is when you start having kids, you start to see things in a completely different light. You notice that felt banner, that tacky felt banner. You notice the fact that tabernacle is far away. You notice these things. You notice the fact that the homily just isn't very edifying. It's just bland and just like whatever. I mean, it's basically a be nice homily, which is what most of them are these days. You notice that because you're now seeing it through the eyes of your child. You're not seeing it through your own eyes, but the eyes of your child, and you're thinking, how does this impact my child week after week to experience Catholicism in this parish? And that becomes one of the most important things to you, is this idea of, okay, how is my child being formed at this parish? And again, it's not a matter of heresy or not heresy. It's a matter of, do my kids see the faith as the most important thing in the world? Do my kids see the faith as something that forms everything in what I say and do? Do my kids see the church as the house of God, where reverence is the most important thing that should be going on? That sacred music is important because it lifts our hearts and minds to God. Or do they see it as just a suburban social club in which the faith isn't really that important and isn't being taught? It's more a matter of where we go to see our friends, maybe our sports, our kids' sports, sporting events, a book club, something like that. And you see all these things from the eyes of a parent and you ask yourself, what do I do? I remember when we had, I think it was, we just had two kids at the time. Well, I know where it was. It was the same town where we had the parish that we went to on All Souls Day. So we started looking for another parish. And we went to this other parish and it wasn't bad, but it was this weird configuration where initially the church was just your traditional configuration where it was long and the altar's at the back and have all these pews. And they turned the altar to the side. They moved the altar, took it out of where it was, moved it to the side, and then they moved the pews. So now they're facing kind of the side wall. But the tabernacle was still on one end. So when you walked in and you're walking into your pew, you're facing the altar, the tabernacle is to your far right. And so to genuflect, you have to kind of turn to the right and then come back to the altar and sit down. So it was this very odd configuration. And I remember my wife said to me, I can't see raising my kids in this parish where the tabernacle is basically over there kind of as a side object. And I thought at the time, I'll be honest, I thought at the time it was a little bit over an overreaction by my wife. I'd only been Catholic, I guess, at this point for, I guess, about 6 or 7 years. And so I kind of thought it was a little bit of a reaction. But then I really thought about it more over the years. And I understood her point. There's a subconscious element to this where all of a sudden you see these things. And in the mind of a child, these things start to subconsciously tell them, okay, well, Jesus in the tabernacle is not front and center. It's not as important. And so again, you find these things that it's like a subconscious thing. And so what do you do in this situation? What do you do when you have a parish that is your local geographic parish? Isn't that great? You feel like it's not going to pass on the faith to your children, not going to help you pass on the faith to your children. It might harm their faith, for example. Now, based upon the title of this podcast, which is You Can't Fix Your Parish, you probably know what my advice is. Leave. Leave that parish. Don't go to it anymore. If you think it's going to harm the faith of your children, or more accurately, you think it's not going to help the faith of your children, don't go to it anymore. Because really, there's only three options in this situation. You can either ignore the situation, just keep going to your local parish and ignore it, or you can try to fix your parish, try and make your parish a better parish, or you can leave. And I'm just going to get to the end here at the beginning, which I say you leave. Now, let's talk about some of the objections to this advice to leave a parish like that. The first one, I still see this. I saw this on Twitter the other day. I put up a tweet about this. This is kind of what made me think of this this podcast subject. I tweeted, I said, a Catholic father's primary responsibility is to his family, not his parish. Don't sacrifice the spiritual well-being of your children trying to fix a bad parish. Move to a good parish. And I got a lot of activity on that one. People seem to agree with that. But one of the objections I hear is that it's against canon law, that according to canon law, you can't do that. You can't leave you have an obligation to your geographic parish. That is actually just false. It's just not the case that's true. What they're talking about is canon 518. Canon 518 states, as a general rule, a parish is to be territorial. That is, it embraces all the Christian faithful within a certain territory. Whenever it is judged useful, however, personal parishes are to be established based upon right, language, the nationality of the Christian faithful within some territory, or even upon some other determining factor. In other words, what the canon is saying is, in general, a parish is territorial, meaning it has a geographic limits of what it covers. Now, it could be that you could set up parishes for other reasons. For example, the German parish and the Italian parish or something like that, or the Ukrainian Catholic parish isn't going to be territorial like a Roman Catholic parish in this country would be. Obviously, in Ukraine, it would be. And so what we see there is there's no obligation stated in canon law that a faithful has to attend their territorial parish. What the obligation is on the pastor of a parish. The obligation of a pastor of a parish is to everybody who lives within his territory. Meaning, if I'm a Catholic within a parish boundaries and I go to that parish for spiritual help, for some type of spiritual assistance, the pastor can't refuse me. He has an obligation to try to meet my spiritual needs. That's what the canon is on. The obligation is on the pastor of the parish, not on the faithful. A faithful, the lay faithful, though, can go to another parish, another territorial parish, a parish outside their territory, they can go to that. And in general, most parishes are just going to accept you and be that, and accept and give you spiritual care. And they're not going to say, you're not in our parish, we're not going to take care of you. I think they could, if they felt, let's say they were overwhelmed and they couldn't handle all the people coming, they probably could do that. But again, there's no reason why a lay person can't go to a parish that's outside their territory. So that's the first thing I would say, is that it's not, there is no canon law saying that a Catholic can't go to a parish outside of his territory. The second common objection that I hear is, well, if all the good Catholics leave, then the parish isn't going to get any better, and it's going to get worse even. I heard this objection last month when I was doing the Latin Mass debate at the Franciscan University of Steubenville. I know somebody mentioned this. Like, what if all the trads leave and go to their trad parish and they leave their Novus Ordo parish? Basically, what they're doing is they're making the parish worse. They're not improving the parish. They're not helping to fix the parish, make it better. And so they're basically causing this problem. And so that's the second, the main objection I hear is, like, you can't leave because you should try to improve your parish. You should be involved in it. Now, just a quick background. I have been a Catholic now for about 30 years, and I have lived in like about 5 different cities, I think, and attended a number of different parishes. I've been very involved at different parishes. I have been the head of evangelization in a parish. I have helped out with RCIA in multiple parishes. I have done inquiry meetings at parishes where people come in and ask any questions about the faith. I've taught adult education at parishes. I've been involved even with, I taught 8th grade CCD before. So I've been involved in parishes. I've tried to make parishes better. So this is not somebody who I've just graduated from college, and I think I know it all about what parishes are like. I've been in parish life a lot. I've also worked at a diocese for 5 years. And in that, I've interacted with lots of people who are involved in their parishes. And what I'm here to say, and I hate to burst people's bubbles, is you can't fix a parish. You cannot fix a parish. A lay person simply can't do it. Now, why am I so negative about this? Why am I cynical about this? Because I've seen it in practice. I've seen it on the diocesan level. I've seen it on the parish level. It's just not possible to really fix a parish. I'm not saying you can't improve a parish, that you can't do good things at a parish. What I'm saying, though, that a parish that's fundamentally flawed, meaning it just has a very middling base, very subpar or even average attitude towards the faith, a lay person is not going to be able to fix that. And why is that the case? First of all, the main reason is, I would say, is because the clergy rule a parish. And that is really how it should be. If you have a priest that is unenthusiastic about the faith, then I don't care what you do, that parish is never going to escape from that. And often you have a parish with a history of priests that are unenthusiastic about the faith. And again, you're not going to do that by starting some program there, by starting a Bible study or doing whatever. You simply don't have the authority or the power to do it. Even if you're on the parish council, you don't have the authority to really override the pastor who doesn't really want to do these things. So that's the first thing, is the clergy are very instrumental. And secondly, when it comes to the clergy, one sad reality is, a bad pastor can ruin a good parish, but a good pastor can't really quickly fix a bad parish. What do I mean by that? I have seen cases where a parish is a solid parish, it's a decent parish, and they get a pastor who's not very good, and it really goes downhill quick. I mean, it just goes downhill very quickly, and nothing can be done about it, by a lay person at least. I've also seen where a good pastor goes to a parish that's not so good, and he can't make the changes that he wants to. He can't make it as good as he wants it to. And why is that? One main reason is because of diocesan support or lack thereof. If a bad pastor goes to a good parish and starts making things kind of gradually going worse and worse, the diocese isn't going to do anything about it. They're not going to intervene about that. But at the same time, if a good pastor goes in and isn't a, and tries to fix his parish, a bad parish, and can't, the diocese isn't going to support him either. Because ultimately, the diocese isn't really working that hard for great parishes. They just they play a game of whack-a-mole. The least amount of complaints they can get, the best. They just are like trying to take care of making the complaints go down. And so they're not really going to do much when a good pastor goes into a bad parish and all of a sudden there's complaints. They want to keep that from happening. And so they're going to tell the good pastor to settle down. I've seen this happen in actual fact. They're going to tell the pastor, or even an associate pastor is trying to do something good, they're going to tell him to knock it off. But when a bad pastor goes, and when I say bad, I don't even mean like somebody who's heretical. Again, just one who's not very good at their vocation. When they go into a good parish and things start getting worse and worse, and the even if people complain to the diocese, there's just nothing done about it. And that's because most of the people at the diocese are just simply, I'm sorry, but they're just working a job. They're not really passionate about the souls. I know there's exceptions to that, but this has just been my experience. So the reality is that a lay person simply cannot fix their parish. Now, let's though argue, for the sake of argument, let's say that you think it's different, your parish. It's not that far away from being good. If I just really get involved and do a bunch of things and get my friends involved too, then I can fix it. Well, here's my question to you as a parent. Are you willing to risk your kid's salvation for your project? Because that's what you're doing. You're literally risking the eternal salvation of your kids in your effort to fix your local parish. And so is that really worth it? And why do I say it? Because I think people should realize that even trying to fix a parish is a long-term game. It's not something that happens overnight. It's not like all of a sudden you and your friends, you and your Orthodox friends all of a sudden show up at your local parish and overnight it's going to have better music. It's going to have better liturgies. It's going to have better architecture. It's going to have better, you know, get rid of the felt banners. It's going to have priests that are really passionate about the faith and preaching it. It's going to have catechism classes that are really solid for the kids. Obviously, that's not going to happen very quickly. It would take years at least to have that type of dramatic impact. And during those years, your kids are going to that parish and they're experiencing all those things that you're trying to fix. Now, they may know you're trying to fix them. They may know you're against them, but the subconsciously, it's still having an impact on their faith. They're seeing all these Catholics who aren't taking their faith seriously. They're seeing priests who aren't really taking their faith seriously. They're hearing things preached. Their Catholicism that they're experiencing is lukewarm. Why on earth would you think that wouldn't impact your kids and potentially make your kids have a lukewarm faith? It's simply just not possible. It's simply ludicrous and wrong for a parent to put their kids' faith in jeopardy. After all, as a Catholic parent, you have one job, and that's to help your kids get to heaven. That's your job as a Catholic parent, is to help your kids get to heaven. And if something at your local parish is harming that job, then you cannot put your quest to improve the parish above that one job you have as a parent. You have to put your kids' faith first and foremost. So I would just argue that there really isn't a good reason to try to fix your parish. Like I said, I don't think you can actually do it, but even if you disagree with me and think you can fix your parish, you're jeopardizing your kids' eternal salvation. And is anything really worth that? I mean, think about it. If somebody told you, okay, your current job, if you keep this current job, your kids are not going to go to heaven. But if you change to a different job, your kids will go to heaven. What Catholic parent wouldn't immediately change their jobs? I mean, immediately. If our Lord came to you and said, oh, you keep this job, your kids are going to go to hell. But if you leave it, then your kids are going to go to heaven. You're going to leave it immediately. And that's basically, though, the kind of the crapshoot you're taking, the gamble you're taking by trying to remain in your parish and fix it. Okay, well, if you're going to leave your parish, though, is you just going to go to another parish that's just as bad? I mean, it's kind of one of these situations where our Lord said you cast out one demon and then 10 more come back later. I mean, you don't want to have that happen, do you? And so if you go from one parish to one middling parish to another middling parish, is that really going to be an improvement? So what do you do to find a solid parish? What should you do? Well, I think couple things. First of all, I would look at this. I would try to find out the history of the parish. How long has it been a solid parish? Let's say you find a parish that you think is pretty solid. How long has it been solid? Is it solid simply because of the current pastor? Like, I know of a parish that people praise and say how great it is, but really it's almost 100% because of the current pastor. If that pastor moves, I don't think there's a lot of support if the next pastor is not that great. Again, I think I'll go down the hill very quickly. You don't really, if you can help it, want to have a situation where you're just switching from parish to parish every couple years. Obviously, if that the only way you can do it, that might have to happen, but you don't want to be that situation. So look at the long-term situation. I think the number one thing you look for is the parish run by a solid religious order? Because if it is, you have a really good chance that future pastors are going to be solid. Future priests, associate pastors are going to be solid as well. And so the whole atmosphere of the parish is much more likely to remain a solid parish over time. So look at that as well. Look at the try to find out the different families that go there. I mean, are a lot of good pastors, I'm sorry, a lot of good Catholic families attending there. Like, for example, when I've moved about four or five times, probably more than that, in during our marriage. And whenever we move to a new area, like a new state or whatever, my wife, what she's done is she will find the local Catholic homeschooling group. And she will say, I'm moving to the area. What are the parishes the homeschoolers go to? And you'll immediately find out what the parishes are that the Catholic homeschoolers trust. And so that's a good sign. It's not a guaranteed sign, but it's a good sign that parish probably is pretty solid. So I think that would be one thing you would do, is you find out where the other solid Catholics go. And so you find that, and then you attend, and you don't just give up after the first week, unless they preach heresy like that one parish did. You try to get a sense of what it looks like through your child's eyes. Is this a place where the faith is taken seriously? Is this a place where the liturgy is reverent, where people are quiet before Mass and quiet after Mass? They're not jibber-jabbering and talking about what they did last week, you know, the past week before Mass starts or after Mass ends inside the sanctuary. So I think all these inside the church. And so I think these are the type of things you want to find. Now, here's the thing. You might say, well, there are no good parishes near me. I live in an area where there's not that many good parishes and there are none near me. I'll be honest, move. I mean, you might have to move. Again, what is more important than your child's salvation? You might have to physically move to a new one. And so that might just be a new area. I mean, you just might have to do that. You might have to go somewhere you weren't expecting to go. Okay, here's what happened to me. When I moved down, I'll just say it, down to Florida, I was in an area where I did not think any parish nearby met that minimum standard I have for a parish for my kids. And so, you know what I started doing? I started going to the FSSP parish. I've told this story before in other places, but I started going to the traditional Latin Mass parish. Now, at the time, I was a dedicated attendee of the Novus Ordo Mass. I was, you know, attending a parish that I thought was solid before I moved. That was a Novus Ordo, regular diocesan parish. But we ended up going to the traditional Latin Mass parish because of the fact that we just simply didn't think these other parishes met that minimum standard to pass on the faith to our kids, to help us pass that faith on to them. And so we started going to Latin Mass. Now, of course, as those who have heard me in other places know, we just kept going to the Latin Mass. And now that's what we go to all the time, even though we've moved outside of Florida. We picked the Latin Mass parish when we moved. So that's what happened to us. And I think what you're going to find is a lot of people might have the same experience, that you try to go to the diocesan parishes. You really do try. You're not trying to be super picky. You're trying to just go your local or at least a relatively nearby diocesan parish, but it just is too much for you because you realize it's harming your kids' faith. It's harming your faith. So you end up going to a Latin Mass parish is often the option. In fact, I would argue that this is one of the reasons why the Pope is trying to shut down the Latin Mass is because he knows it's a release valve, so to speak. That what's happening is that these certain types of Catholics are just tired of their local parish and all the games that are being played there, and they end up driving and going to the Latin Mass parish. It's like a release valve for them. And he's trying to cut that off, to be honest. And so You know, I think, though, that is probably the best option in a lot of cases, is to find your local Latin Mass parish. Now, it's well known within the Latin Mass community the amount that people will drive to go to their local Latin Mass. I mean, I've heard stories as much as 3 hours one way. And I've heard very often 1 hour, easily 1 hour. And so I do think that is a, you know, God bless their sacrifice. I mean, they are telling their kids that this is the most important thing for us and we're willing to drive 3 hours. Maybe you should try to maybe move closer if you can. By the way, I understand moving is a big deal. I hate moving. I've moved before. I don't ever want to move again. So I know it's not an easy thing to do, but I do think, though, that the fact is that we have to put our faith and our children's faith above all else. If that means that we inconvenience ourselves by driving an hour to our parish or by going to a parish that maybe we think isn't something we normally go to, like a Latin Mass parish, that we do that, or that we actually literally move. We move to a new area that has a solid community, that has a solid parishes, or maybe even better, solid options for parishes, like more than just one. In case one kind of goes down, there's other options as well. I really think we need to do this. I've talked in other podcasts before about the need to find strong communities, just for the fact that there's a growth in anti-Catholicism. They're trying to shut us out of society. And so we need to have these strong communities. And so this is just another part of that, is a strong faith community that is going to help you in your raising of your kids. I don't believe in the Hillary Clinton, it takes a village, but I do believe that a parish, a good solid parish, is necessary for a parent trying to raise their kids in the faith. And so I really think that we need to seriously consider. Now, one thing I know some people might say is, what will a diocese do if all these people start moving to just one or two small, you know, one or two parishes and start taking them over? Not taking them over, but like basically leaving all the parishes. Well, I think they're seeing what's happening. I mean, we all know the numbers. I mean, the number of Catholics attending Mass is going down, down, down. But if you look at like when Crisis did the survey of Latin Mass parishes, those are going up. And why is that? Because a lot of people are doing exactly what I've been saying to do in this podcast, is they're attending the Latin Mass parishes, or maybe the unicorn Reverend Novus Ordo parishes. I know they exist, and I don't want to act like my parish I go to now used to have one of those. Now they're just do Latin Mass. But the point is, I know it's possible to have that. So regardless of if it's a Latin Mass parish or not, the idea is, though, that dioceses see this. Now, unfortunately, they don't seem to really get it, and they don't really seem to understand that maybe that's a sign that we should have more of our parishes like that. But I think over time, I think they will, if they're not successful in crushing us. The Pope isn't successful in crushing us. So I do think, though, we really have to think radically. We have to put our kids above all else, their faith above all else. You know, don't just attend a parish that you're just simply like, well, it's not teaching heresy at least. No, that's not good enough for your kids. I mean, what is good enough for your kids? Hopefully, the only thing good enough for your kids is a parish that is reverent, that is proclaiming the truth without apology, and that is really passing on the faith as much as they can. Okay, so I think that's enough of me beating on this dead horse. I just really encourage people, again, look at your parish situation, especially if you have kids. Decide for yourself, is this a parish that really passes on the faith or not? And if it isn't, really start researching other communities, other places, either that you just drive to another parish or that you actually move to. Consider those things, because our kids' faith is more important than anything. Okay, I'll wrap it up there. I just want to say, let's pray for all those people in situations, especially as parents that have no good parish near them. Pray that they find an alternative, find some way, a parish that they can go to, whether it means moving or driving. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for each other. And until next time, God love you.